Goals for Yom HaDin.
Remember, this year Yom HaDin is going to be shorter, so it has to be more intense, it has to be more active. The davening is not going to obviously last that long, or last long, but obviously health concerns are going to limit. Yes, Sally, I can have a question. We'll see. Ellie will do all the logistics, but it's not going to be the normal 7-hour davening that we normally have in Rosh Hashanah. Some of you are smiling too much there, Yaakov. Okay. Now, Rav Amital took us through Rosh Hashanah. This was his time to literally take us by the hand through his shiurim, through his speeches, and of course, he was a Baal Tefillah. I hope you'll get to hear Eli this year as a Baal Tefillah, because he has Rav Amital's Nusach, and in fact, Eli won't tell you, but he used to lead a minyan in Tinek that would convene just for Rosh Hashanah. People would come to Tinek for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, just to hear Rav Amital's Nusach, and there are minyanim all over the world that still convene just to hear his Nusach. And his Tefillah wasn't just Tefillah, he would make mistakes, he'd repeat words, he'd skip words, because he wasn't davening from a machzor, he was davening from his heart, he had his eyes closed. He would tell stories of davening in concentration camps, and how he remembers saying, "Uvechein tein kavod Hashem li'amecha," laughing at himself. What does it mean for the Jewish people to have kavod when we're being shot like dogs? And all this started the night of Slichos. Slichos in yeshiva is, not this year obviously, huge, huge, huge gathering. Alumni bus in from all over the country to come here when Rav Amital was davening, obviously still now, a little bit less. And one of the ways you can prepare throughout your life is the night of Slichos, whenever that happens, whatever you do normally on Masei Shabbos, you don't do the night of Slichos. You don't go to a movie, you don't watch a movie, you don't. You finish Shabbos and you try to put yourself into a more ruchnius spirit and you start the Rosh Hashanah process that Masei Shabbos before of Slichos. So I want to share two or three of Rav Amital's signature Sichot. He would give these signature talks on Slichos night. And then we'll see a little clip of Rav Amital talking and then, of course, of him actually leading the Slichos. This is before we had fancy videographers. This is like a pirate, a bootleg copy. Someone brought a camera. I don't think we had cell phones. Someone brought a camera and filmed Rav Amital saying Slichos again, just to get a sense of what the mood was like, what the base medrash was like. Okay. Every Slicha that we say before Yom Kippur is built on a three-part structure. You've got two piyutim, which you just recite, and then you say the 13 midos harachamim. For my shir, I'm going to give a very, very detailed shir on Yud Gimel midos harachamim on Sunday. We'll go through each midah. But of course, everyone has to know that's the ikra tefillah. So if you fall behind in a piyut, and then the tzibur reaches Yud Gimel midos, you want to stop the piyut in your tracks and say the Yud Gimel midos with the tzibur. If you want, you can come back to the piyut. If you don't want to, you don't have to. The piyutim are not. They're medieval poems about kapara and tshuva and Jewish suffering, but the Yud Gimel Midos, that's the Ikar HaTefillah. You want to stop and say Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum Mechanan. But there's an introduction to the entire Slichos, which you would say about maybe 25, 30 psukim. And then there are the two piyutim sandwiched by Yud Gimel Midos. And then I'm talking Ashkenazi and Slichot now. And then, of course, there's a third part, which we call a pismon, which we recited responsively, the Chazan and the Tzibur, the Chazan and the Tzibur. And the pismon part of this Matzei Shabbos is called Lishmoa El Harinavi El HaTfila. So across the world, you'll see signs, Matzei Shabbos, Lishmoa El Harinavi El HaTfila, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, whenever the Slichos begins. Okay, so you should, when they refer to this as the Slichos Lishmo El Harina Ve'elat Tefillah, it's because of that beard. Now again, just a side point, I'll talk about this extensively. Part of Slichos is to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Part of Slichos is just to be tired. The Yom HaDin is coming. And you don't just walk into the Yom HaDin confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this year, of course, every statement about Yom HaDin is magnified this year. And it's going to be hard next week because Slichos is going to be early. I think they still haven't decided, but I think it's going to be early in the morning. And then it's going to be even earlier during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. You're going to be really exhausted, even more than you are this week. But embrace the fatigue. That's part of Yom HaDin. Part of Yom HaDin is being exhausted. Again, if you're really exhausted, you can't keep your head up and you can't learn. Go take a nap and go relax. But a lot of people complain about Slichos, and I want to try to convert that from complaining to an opportunity to prepare for Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin is you're more holy, you're more spiritual, you're more thoughtful, you're more soulful, and you're also a little nervous. You don't just walk in and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Rosh Hashanah, but you're a little bit off your game, a little bit off your mark, and being tired captures that. Which means that ideally, halachically also, but also experientially, ideally, and this is really, I'm trying to give you lessons before we start Rav Amital Sichot, you should be going to late night Slichot or early morning Slichot. Am I happy that in most Orthodox communities there are 10 o'clock Slichot? Of course I am. Because there are people who need that type of Slichot, certainly older people, certainly kids who want to go, people who are ill, people who just can't find Slichot in the morning. But assuming you don't have health or professional constraints, or personal constraints, you need to be at home. Obviously, it's a bigger mitzvah to be a good husband during Elul than to run out to Slichot if your wife has 15 children and she has to watch. Go to the early Slichot. But the people that don't have ulterior reasons should be going to either late night Slichot or early morning Slichot. You shouldn't be backing out. Basically, it's like Slichot of convenience. Now again, it used to be that Baruch Hashem, the last couple of years I've been able to. When I was a child, when I was raising my little children, I got really tired. I had to use those Slichot once or twice just to recharge, depending on how long Slichot was. So I'm happy, and if I were a Rav in a shul, I'd probably also have Slichot available at that time. But that shouldn't be the Slichot of choice when you're 20 years old and you're in college. So you have a minyan that needs that. So you should be running to Slichot, Afmaras HaBoker, in the middle of the night, Daven Tekarish Baruch Hu, Shivchei Chamayim Libech, pouring out your heart to Tekarish Baruch Hu. One other quick note by introduction. I'm sorry not to even to get to the Sicha. I don't know what the story is going to be about the Shabbos because the Israelis are leaving. But assuming everyone comes back, which right now we're assuming, Slichot in Israel are very, very, very raw. What I mean by raw is people are not just reading from the Sichot, singing nice little ditties, and joining in. There's a lot of screaming. There's a lot of crying. There's a lot of shouting. That's going to be a little different because in our area, you're only with Americans, but you're going to see across the mechitzah and you're going to hear it's different than maybe what you're accustomed to. Don't do anything fake. Don't start screaming because they're screaming. Obviously, if you feel you want to scream and you want to cry and you want to shout, but don't be offended by it. It's just a little bit different. It's really raw and authentic, and you'll see a lot of it continues into Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So I think a lot of people who haven't been exposed to yeshiva-style slichos have a hard time when they hear all the screaming and shouting. It's just it's a different feel. People trying to be very emotional, very passionate, and very, very emphatic about their slichot. Anyway, this is all an introduction because Rav Amital spoke about the pasuk of Lishmoa El Harina Ve'al HaTfila, which serves as the core of the first pismo. It's a pasuk in Melachim. It's a pasuk which Shmuel recites when he's describing the role of the Beis HaMikdash. He says, Ufanisa al tfilas abdecha. Shlomo Melach says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to listen to your tfilas. Ve'al tchinaso. Lishmoel harina ve'al atfila. So Shlomo Melch is essentially creating a contrast between rina and tefila. Lishmoel, don't just listen to the tefila, listen to the rina. So what is rina? So the Gemara in Brachos alludes to it. Yachol yishol adam tzracha v'yachagach yispal. Maybe you should first ask Hashem your request and then you should praise Hashem. Shmuel inverts the order. First we praise Hashem, first we sing, first we celebrate Hashem, and then we lodge our requests. And what is the source of this? Source number one, part two, Rina zu tfila, tfila zu bakasha. So the word Rina refers to a pre-bakasha state of tfila. Before you say, Hashem, I need health, and Hashem, I need wealth, and Hashem, I need fitness, and Hashem, I need geula. First you talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you sing, you praise, Lishmoel harina, v'yala tfila. That's the way it's typically referred to. Rav Amital felt that there was a second meaning to the word Rina. And it wasn't praise and song, but it was desperation. When you hear David HaMelech using the term Rina, and he's in the cave, and he's being chased mercilessly by Sheol, and he has no hope, and he's literally backed into a dark place, Tehillim Kuf Mem Beis, he screams, Za'akti Elecha Hashem, Amarti Atam Machzi, you're my shelter, Chelki Beretz, I'm nothing else, I have no one to help me. Hakshiva el rinasi. Listen to my rina. Kida lo simeon. I'm so poor. Hatsileni merodfai. Save me from my aggressors. Ki amtsu mimeni. They're too strong for me. It's an amazing, amazing dichotomy because the word rina for David HaMelech means desperation, powerlessness, urgency, fright, and terror. And for Shlomo HaMelech, the word rina means an enchanting praising of Hashem. And Rav Amital felt that the two meanings intersected, that when you realize how powerless you are, it's humbling, and then you release yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you reach Shlomo HaMelech's arena. But the route to Shlomo HaMelech's arena is not just singing a song. The route to Shlomo HaMelech's arena is feeling inadequacy, feeling impotent, feeling helpless, feeling backed in. And that's the tone Rav Amitel urged us to daven. The shofar to Rav Amitel, and by the way, to the Rav as well, was a shofar of divestiture. What are you trying to divest? You're trying to divest the human voice. What is the human voice? Enlightenment, advance, intellect, hubris, artifice, pretense. Everything that we believe in as human beings. And we're divesting that human voice, and we're trying to replace it with their primordial, instinctive, gut scream and shriek of a frightened beast. The sound of the shofar is wordless, and it's ourselves just crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just a simple, primordial cry. I don't have words. I don't know what I need. I just know that I need you. Animals don't cry with any cognitive sense. It is a disrobing of human artifice and human conceit to reach something more pure, more authentic, more visceral, more bestial. Where do we learn the sound of the shofar from? From Aim's sister, from Sisera's mother. Of all the great role models in Tanakh, when Rosh Hashanah, we're thinking about Sisera's mother. That's who we're davening like. I want to daven like Sisera's mother. Well, Sisera's mother was just a regular mother who realized her son wouldn't return from battle. And she sobbed like a mother. And that motherly sob doesn't have to be a righteous person. It doesn't have to be a holy person. It could just be a mother sobbing for her child. And we're trying to capture that sob of Sisera's mother, Vatayabev Aim Sisera. So David HaMelech is backed into a corner. He realizes he's helpless. It's humbling. Then he throws himself at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't even know what I want. But I know I need you. And I'm just davening. I'll tell you what, you decide what I need. Because I don't even know what I need. I don't even know how to daven. And that's the arena of Shlomo. When you reach that stage, you pull down the defense shield and pull down the sense of pretense and presumption and expectation and the urban, intellectual, sophisticated voice that we all speak in and we all pursue, but that leads to a lot of perversion and a lot of artifice and a lot of contamination and adulteration. You get back to something deeper and more innocent, you just stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you cry. And you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please Hashem, I don't even know. And it should be obvious that we don't know at all, and we're brought to a point where we really feel powerless and really don't know the future. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't even know what I'm asking for. I just know that I want your guidance and your shelter. The second Gemara of Amitav would quote a lot to us, and I'm going to slowly deconstruct this Gemara into several ideas. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared before Moshe, Vayavar Hashem al panav Vayikra, Amar B'Yochanan. By the way, guys, this is the only time in Shas that this phrase appears. Once in Shas. You can check it on Bar Ilan. Rabbi Yochanan says, what I'm about to say is heresy. I wouldn't say it unless the Pasuk said it. That's how astounding and that's how provocative the statement's going to be. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, El Male Mikra Kasav, if the Torah wouldn't write it, Yev Shalom, I couldn't say it. Why couldn't I say this? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nothing physical about him. There's no physical appearance. But Hashem appeared to Moshe that night like a Shliach Tzibur. He put a talus over his head like a shliach tzibur, and he said, I will teach you how to daven. This is the only tefillah that Hashem delivers to men. All tefillahs are concocted by men. Even if you feel like the Rambam, the tefillah is the Oraisa, the text is the Rabbanan. This text is God-given. What does it mean? What are we to take from this image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a shliach tzibur? What does that mean? So Rav Amitel developed three ideas, obviously not in the same year. The first idea is based on a fascinating Rambam. The Rambam tries to describe that Hashem isn't physical. So let's read the Rambam together, source number 4. Hare mefurash batara b'nevi'ah, she'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu guf v'gviah. Hashem's not physical. She'nemar, ki Hashem Elokeichem hu Elokim b'shamayim v'aretz v'aguf lo yeh b'shnei mekom. If Hashem were physical, how could he be in the shamayim and aretz? Bodies are limited by space. Hashem is limited by space, hence he's not physical. Source 4, part 2. Well, what about all the phrases in the Torah that describes Hashem's body? Oh, those are just anthropomorphic. And now the Rambam is going to prove to you that they're all metaphoric, because he's going to show that Hashem sometimes appears like X, And then sometimes he appears like not X, the inverse. So how can Hashem be X and not X? Evidently, they're just ways that he appears rather than essence. They're just shells, rather than, or they're ways that he wants you to think of him. And what does the Rambam highlight as the antithesis or the antithetical views of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So let's see, source number 4, part 2, line 5. Raya l'davar, bring your proof. Shenavi yachad omer shura HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's read 4 lines on. Moshe Rabbeinu atzma ra'oha hayam kegibur osem l'chama. Moshe saw Hashem at the Yamsuf like a warrior. Uvis Sinai, in Har Sinai, how does Moshe see Hashem? Kishleach tzibur. Argumar. So in the Rambam, Shleach Tzibur is the antithesis of a warrior. At the Yam Suf, Hashem Yish Milcham, Hashem Shemo. At Har Sinai, in Kitisa, the second Har Sinai, he sees Hashem as a Shleach Tzibur, which is the antithesis of a warrior. What's the antithesis of a warrior? Midas HaRachem. Hashem davens with us. Hashem has compassion. Hashem davens for us. Hashem davens for himself to reunite with his children. The purpose of this metaphor is that tshuva can be a very, very lonely process. You can feel discharged from Hashem. You can feel distance from Hashem. You can feel alienated from Hashem. You can feel as if you've angered Hashem. You can feel as if Hashem is not happy with you. And at that point, Hashem takes your hand and says, you know what, let's daven together. Let's daven together. I want you back, and I'm willing to daven with you. Especially this year. Not so much for you, but I just wrote an article about this, because so many Jews across the world are going to be davening without their friends, without their family, without their shuls. They wrote an article in some of the newspapers, what to think about when you miss your family, when you miss your chazan, when you miss your shul. What I'm going to say is think about the fact that you're davening with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's right there with you, doesn't he? Corona, yes. Corona, no. Shul, no shul. You're davening alongside this Gemara, this Shliach Tzibur of Kodesh Baruch Hu. I heard this great story. Just so much of touching people in life is to give you the fact that you're with them. I had a rabbi in camp a long, long time ago. He passed away recently. And someone gave the following hesped. He was a mashgiach in the yeshiva in America. And a yeshiva for boys that came from troubled backgrounds. There was a cure of yeshiva. And one night, believe it or not, one of the boys in the yeshiva, Shabbos night, Friday night, went to go see a movie. So he stole the Rebbe's car. And he went to see a movie on Shabbos. So this Rebbe walked the 2 miles to the movie theater, convinced the ticket agent to let him in without a ticket, sat down next to the boy in the movie theater, and said, "Don't forget to make a bracha on the popcorn." And that changed his life, because I'm here with you. I obviously don't agree with your lifestyle, but it doesn't mean I'm here with you. Nothing can separate us. I'm here with you. So Hashem is telling Moshe, I'm here with you. I'm compassionate. I'm not just that warrior of the Yamsuf will be angry and will devastate or smite the people. I'm just here with you. And that's the first reason that Hashem appeared to Moshe as a Shliach Tzibur. I'm here with you. I'm davening with you. I'm compassionate with you. But why does Hashem put a talus over his head? I'm just down in front of Moshe. Why does he put a talus? Why does the Gemara have to go into such detail if, again, this is a Gemara that makes us feel uneasy? Because anything physical about Hashem is going to make us feel uneasy. So Rami tells us that the talus teaches us that as broad as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and as unattainable as he is, we can't describe him, we can't picture him, he's universal, he's cosmic, we can't imagine him, he makes himself available to us and accessible to us. And one of the ways he makes himself available and accessible to us is by allowing us to detect his trail or his trace in this world. What is Hashem's trail or trace in this world? Morality. When you see mercy in this world, that's a hint of Hashem. When you see compassion in this world, that's a hint of Hashem. When you're compassionate, you're acting like Hashem. When you're kind, when you're selfless, when you're fergar, when you're patient, if you ask Hashem, every single midah that you'll say, over the next 3 weeks, and you'll say it about 100 times, I counted once, slow it down and ask yourself, well, how am I doing in that regard? How am I doing in that regard? If I'm asking Hashem not to be angry with me and just be forbearing and tolerant, well, how am I doing on my tolerance and patience? How am I doing in the way I judge people? Am I judging them harshly or am I judging them favorably? Won't Hashem judge me favorably? How am I doing on the compassion level? How am I doing on the honesty level?
Because whatever you're asking Hashem, it's more a product of who you are. That's how you solicit HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachamim. So Hashem says, I may be unknowable, I may be unattainable, I may be infinite, but I'm going to take myself and shrink myself under the talus and make myself, it's called tzimtzum, make myself more available, more accessible. And one way is the 13 midos. And you know what else? There's going to be a period of the year when I'm even more accessible, 40 days a year, that I'm really with you. And you'll be reciting the 13 midos. That's why instead of reciting Kel HaKadosh, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is far, far, Kel means beyond and above and transcendent, we switch it to Melech HaKadosh, even that's frightening, but a Melech is still more imminent than a Kel, because he's judging you and he's involved in your day-to-day. So the Talis is not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu davening with us, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu being mitzantzim himself and saying, I want to be here with you. Rav Amital brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the base matters. He would be crying every year. He would speak to us on the first day of Rosh Hashanah about Akedas Yitzchak. And boy, did this person see a lot of Akedas Yitzchaks in his life. He saw an entire generation of Akedas Yitzchaks. And then he saw it again when he came to Israel and he lost so many Talmidim in battle. They had to go to their funerals and stand across their freshly cut graves. I remember early in the corona crisis, someone said, well, how are you handling yourself? And he said, I think a lot about Rav Amital, because he once told me that after he lost 8 Talmidim in the Six-Day War, and he just went from grave to grave, hospital to hospital, visiting those, it wasn't just 8 Talmidim, it was many, many, many people who were maimed and burnt. He told Rav Lichtenstein, I give up, I can't be the Rosh Hashiva anymore, you take the keys. That's how broken he was inside. But he told me, he said, I had to show leadership to people. As much as I was broken inside, I couldn't share that fact because people were looking to me for confidence, for strength, for optimism. And it seems sometimes maybe duplicitous. How can you not share what's in your heart? But as long as it's not manipulative, you just sort of say, I can't share that part with you right now because I know you need a different part of me. And Rav Amital would stand the second day and cry. Sorry, the first day and speak about Malchus Hashem. I used to call it State of the Union message. What is the state of Hashem's Malchus in this world? What happened in the past year to improve Hashem's presence? What happened to decrease his presence in the eyes of people? He talked about the fall of communism as an event that would augment the presence of Hashem, because communism is a culture built on atheism. And when that culture disbanded, so atheism was less present in our world. Obviously, September 11th to him was a regression of the presence of Hashem in this world, because people were murdering other people on behalf of religion. And that convinced modern man that religion is associated with death. Every year he tells about the events of the past year. I actually had do this several times. I would write my own articles or record, obviously, this year. There's not much that I can add. It's a really hard year for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Most people have a hard time seeing Hashem through the pandemic. Believers don't, but non-believers or people whose belief is sketchy and frail, it's really hard. Where is Hashem? Why is this happening to people? We have answers. We have ways to deal with those questions. So can HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is a Melech Malchei Melechim, become accessible to human beings? The third part, and this was an eye-opener for me, a total eye-opener for me, right? Like to literally open my eyes. A Shliach Tzibur davens for other people, and he suppresses his own ego. The whole notion of covering your head with a talus means you're making yourself identityless, you're making yourself faceless. The whole purpose of a Shliach Tzibur is you're a Shliach Tzibur, you're not yourself. You're just a go-between. You're an intermediary. You suppress your own identity. You cover your head with a talus. No one sees who you are. They just hear a voice. You're leading people. That's the difference between a chazan, who's a performer, and a shliach tzibur, who's a davener. A chazan performs. A shliach tzibur inspires, brings people to tears, raises their spirits, makes them cry, makes them feel confident, not plays with their emotions, but evokes emotions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll be willing to be master myself. Sometimes you can't see me, even though I'm right here, Moshe, and every kol tovia panecha, you won't be able to see me all the time. But the Shliach Tzibur davens for other people. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a Shliach Tzibur, then we're all a Shliach Tzibur. Although we're not all the Shliach Tzibur, that'd be pretty chaotic. But do you daven in Rosh Hashanah for yourselves? Or do you daven in Rosh Hashanah for others? Ask yourself that question. I'll give you some answers to the question, but I'd rather you ask the question, who do you daven for in Rosh Hashanah? And once that changes, your Rosh Hashanah changes. Obviously, you daven for yourself, your family, but you daven for all the Jews that can't make it into Shul on Rosh Hashanah. Did that tefillah ever cross your mind? Or Jews who walk into Shul Rosh Hashanah, but the tefillah is so eviscerated and emasculated, it's not really Yom HaDin, it's just some nice words from the rabbi and some nice tunes, but the sense of Emas HaDin and the fear of Yom HaDin is not there. Do you daven for Rechol B'nei Adam Yavron L'fanach HaKib Nei Marom? As we have to daven this year, that every human being should have a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Rachamim. Do you see yourself as a shliach tzibur, or do you see yourself just as a thief trying to make away with life and health and your own needs and your own? That was an eye-opener for me. I never davened for anyone but myself, or for my parents, because that was really egotistical also, because I wanted my parents to live so I could have parents. But it never dawned on me that I have to be a shliach tzibur, that there are millions of Jews that need me to daven for them. There are people that need me to daven for them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs me to daven for his shchina. That the Shechina should be more augmented in the school. All of a sudden, I'm not just davening for my own puny, egotistical needs, but all of a sudden, I have a mission. I have to daven. I have to be that one. If there's no one else, if no one will daven, then how will the world advance? Those are the three reasons that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe as a Shliach Tzibur. One is to reassure him, it's dark after you fail. The angle is a very dark place. You feel fenced in, you feel hopeless, but I'm here davening with you. Number two, I'm available. You may think that I'm unattainable, but I really am attainable. And I'm going to shrink myself under the talus so you can access my Yud Gimel Midos and access me during these 40 days. Dear Shuras Hashem, Behi Matzah Ukra'u Ubi Yosel Karov. The third reason is, Moshe, try during these days. It's not just when you daven. It's how do you want to appear in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu these days? There are two ways to meet Hashem during the next month. During the next, now it's 3-4 weeks. One is as an individual. You stand in front of Hashem and you bear the full weight of Yom HaDin. Trust me, that's not the preferred option. The preferred option is to say, I'm coming as part of the people. And as a people, the davening is a whole different story. You have a bris with us. You have a schus with us. We have the right to make demands of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have the right to expect answers, but you want us to make demands. I'm happy when my kids make demands of me. I expect them to realize I can't always say yes. But it shows that they're really interested. Abba, come, let me beat you in basketball again. But they want me. They want to spend time with me. I don't always have the time. That makes me thrilled when they demand of my time. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, and then we'll look at this video. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, source number 6, very famous Gemara, which figures prominently in Asana Tokif, the end of the Mishnah, V'chol b'nei olam, Oven lefanecha kivnei marom. Every human being passes like b'nei marom. We recite this Mishnah in Unisana Tokef. What is b'nei marom? Okay, very good, Moshe. There were 3 days. The Gemara says source 7, so when you say Unisana Tokef, you can think about all these three options because obviously they're all complementary. Source number 7. My kivnei marom. Line number 2. What does kivnei marom mean? Hacha Moshe. Here means in Babel. You're Sephardi, right? Are you Iraqi?
Moroccan.
Moroccan, okay, so it's close to Babel. So your ancestors migrated to Morocco. Hacha tirgimu kivnei imrana. In Babel, they used to say kivnei imrana, like sheep, as you said, Moshe. Kivnei maro means sheep. Why sheep? Because sheep move as a herd. And I'd rather stand in front of Hashem like defenseless, innocent sheep standing together with other Jews. Because the other option, which is what Reish Lakish says, Ki ma'alos beis marom. What is ma'alos beis marom? Beis marom is a very, very tall city on a high mountain. In those days, how would you access a city on a high mountain? Be a small little rampart leading up the lake. Carved a little rampart. I've seen Masada, that little rampart leading up the mountain. How do you walk up a small, narrow rampart on a steep hill? Single file. Not enough room for 2 people. Just out of interest, many people feel there's a girsa change here, not kivnei marom kimalos beis marom, el kimalos beis charon. Beis charon is actually a city near Yerushalayim, which is a very steep hill. Malot beit charon. So we appear in front of our Kodesh Baruch Hu one by one, but I'd rather be there like sheep. And then the third day is amavidah b'shmuel kechayelo shel beis David, like soldiers. Bnei marom means soldiers. Why would we be thinking about soldiers? Because soldiers don't always come back from war. Soldiers don't always come back from war. Nothing about your future and nothing about my future is certain. We're standing in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and I'd rather stand there as part of a people rather than as an individual. These are some of the sichot Rav Amital gave us. This is the spirit he tried to create. I know it's hot in the room, so we'll just look a little bit at the sicha. Listen to the actual slichot of Rav Amital. And you'll hear his Yitgadal, which is the first Yitgadal that you recite in Rosh Hashanah 2. Then you know it's Rosh Hashanah time. And don't let me a little early, just to give everyone a little bit of breathing room, okay? Let me shut the light, please. I'll control it because I don't want to. Thank you to the guys for finding it to Zachy and Sarah. Thank you for the mess. Does the sound work, Zachy? Zachy, does the sound work? Maybe if someone has a phone.
Yeah.
Okay, my phone's dead.
To the
get to the site, and then just we'll start them together. We'll start the film.
Oh, you need
to try it. I'll send someone. Who am I sending it to? So, where are you saying it? I'm not on the chat. Okay.